Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll move on this listener right now in your gentle, loving, powerful, and merciful way as they listen to this message from All Nations Church in Tallahassee. Amen.
Before we turn to the Word this morning, I want to take a few moments to address some of the things that are happening around the world, particularly in Israel. As probably most of you are aware, unless you're living in a foxhole somewhere, Iran launched an attack against Israel, shooting over 300 missiles as well as drones. And Israel, through the defense system, with the help of the U.S. and England and Jordan and Saudi Arabia, were able to shoot down every one of those things. That's a miracle. None got through. There was only one mishap, and that was because a Jordanian missile firing at one of the Iranian missiles had a mishap, and there were three casualties as a result. But to think about the fact that 300 missiles and drones could be launched against Israel and the nation and the people remain unharmed, that is amazing. That's God. We thank God for the allies, that they stood with them at this point in time, but that's nothing short of God. Amen. We're thankful for that. But I want to tell you again today that Israel is pivotal in our future and in the future of this world. Every prophetic thing that occurs flows through Israel. If you're a student of prophecy or eschatology, you have to ask yourself, what exactly does this mean? Is this the war that Ezekiel 38 and 39 talked about, when nations of the earth or some of the nations gather against Israel? And the answer to that question is no, it's not. Because this was Iran, who also supports and trains Hamas and Hezbollah, launching attack against Israel itself. So we thank God that that attack was squashed. We had a message from one of our friends in Israel today saying that they're strong, they're not fearful, they understand God is in control. I told you this a few weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago now, after October the 7th, that I believe God is using this to call Israel back to Him, to turn the hearts of the Jews back to the God, their Father, who ordained them and created them. When we look at the Scripture, we recognize that no, this is not the war described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We also recognize it's not what Zechariah talked about in Zechariah 14, 1 through 6, or Joel spoke of in Joel 3, 1 through 16. It's not what it's talked about in Revelation 16, culminating in Revelation 19, with the return of Jesus Christ, His second coming. Rather, it's a war that is fueled, number one, by hatred and racism. In 1979, the Shah of Iran was deposed in the Islamic Revolution. The Ayatollahs took control of that country. And since that day and time, Iran has done everything in its power to foster, to fuel hatred against Israel and the Jews. They will tell you, and I'm not speaking of the Iranian people. I know many Iranian people who are nice and calm and peace-loving. I'm talking about their leadership that is demonic, driven by the devil. The leadership desires the complete destruction of the nation of Israel and the annihilation of every Jew, killing every Jew. That's their goal. That's their desire. It's stated. It's out there. How many times have you heard over the last few months, well, we're going to offer a two-state solution to Israel and the Palestinian Authority? Do you know how many times a two-state solution has already been offered and rejected by Hamas and the Palestinian Authority? Because they're not interested in a two-state solution. They're only interested in one thing: destroying the nation of Israel and killing every Jew. That's their agenda. It's no secret. They're making it clear. And we know that Iran has funded Hamas and trained Hamas, funded and trained Hezbollah, as well as many other terrorist groups. Their agenda is clear as well. And now their participation is being unmasked for the world to see. And we pray for Israel today. We pray that God would watch over them, protect them. You know, it's interesting when the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, what will be the signs of the end of the age? Have you ever read that passage? You should read all of Matthew chapter 24. He went through a whole list, but the first on the list was false prophets will arise. He says that three times in that passage, false prophets will arise. False teachers will deceive many. Folks, if there's ever a day and a time for you to be in the Word, know the Word, study the Word, meditate on the Word, this is the day and the time. Listen, getting a little pill Sunday morning for an hour and a half will not sustain you in the days that are ahead. You must become a student of the Word. You must hear the Word, let it resonate in your heart, and then allow the Holy Spirit to bring illumination and guidance and understanding from the Word of God, because false prophets are abounding even today. Secondly, he said there will be wars and rumors of wars. He went on to say there will be pestilence, famine, earthquakes. But the end is not yet. These things must come to pass, he said. And then he goes on to tell us that there will be great lawlessness and persecution against believers before the end comes. And then he gave us three parables to describe that, to tell us the story. The first was of the faithful and the unfaithful servant. The second was of the 10 virgins, 5 who were wise, 5 who was foolish. And the third was of the talents. And in each one of those parables, he is telling us one thing: be prepared. Be ready. Know the days, know the times, know the seasons. Be prepared. Be ready. What does that mean to us? Be prepared and be ready. It means that your heart needs to be right with God. If you're living in sin, your future is bleak. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, there is no hope for your future. It'll be a very difficult and terrible time when that occurs. So we need to be prepared. We need to have our heart right with God. We need to be students of the Word. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Read Acts chapter 1, because before Jesus ascended back into heaven, his disciples said, "So what will be the signs of the coming of your kingdom?" Do you know what he said? "Quit worrying about that. It's not up to you. Stop worrying about that. But you go to Jerusalem and you wait for the promise of the Father." What he's saying to us today, too many times we're gripped by fear because what's happening around us, we're paralyzed so we can't move forward. It stops the effective evangelism and expansion of the kingdom of God because God's people are living in fear over what's happening around us. You know what he's saying to you and I today? He's saying it's time that you get full of the Holy Ghost. It's time that you be filled with the power from on high that will enable you to walk in this present age and be a light in the present darkness. And if you're not willing to do that, are you really his disciple? Are you really his disciple? Scripture is so very, very clear that we need to be prepared. So there's only 4 reasons for war. Number 1 is to gain territory, to gain land. Number 2 is to gain resources and money. Number 3 is racism. And we've seen that happen the world over, where in Tanzania a few years ago, there was a war, a revolution, all over the width of the nose, because one tribe thought they were better than another. Came down to the width of their nose. They're all Africans. They're all Tanzanians. It's insane, isn't it? And now we see that same hatred and racism directed towards Israel and to the Jews in general. Folks, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand with Israel. Everything flows through Israel in these end times. And the 4th reason for war is for power. When I read Ezekiel 38 and 39, it talks about Gog and Magog and the 5 other nations that joined with them against Israel. It reminds me that that war could be, it will happen before the start of the tribulation. That war could be called Gog meets God. They're coming for land, but you know what they get? They only get the land that they're going to be buried in. That's what the scripture says. It takes 7 months to bury the dead after that war. It's time to wake up, folks. Stop believing what the media tells you. Start reading the Word of God, understanding the signs and the times, and be prepared, be ready to meet him at any time. See, God doesn't want us to live in fear. Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." He said in John 16, "Don't be alarmed, don't be afraid when trouble comes. Know that I've experienced that hatred as well, but I have overcome the world." We have to come from a biblical perspective when we see the events around us. Otherwise, we sit with our hands folded in anxiousness, wondering what's going to happen to us. I've got news for you today. I may not know tomorrow, but I know the one who does. And if I know the one who does, then I can trust him to lead me through troubled waters. It's up for you and I. It's up to you and I to latch on to that, to believe that, to live in that. I will not live in fear. I refuse to do it. I will stand in the promise of God and in the power of the Holy Ghost, and you as the church should as well. All of us should, in Jesus' name. Amen. Got to come to the place where we see the signs and we recognize that, yes, this is definitely a sign of the end times. But when people say this is the war described before the tribulation, they're incorrect, because it isn't. Nor is it the Battle of Armageddon. Incorrect. It is not. When we don't know when we take a portion of Scripture and try to build our life on it without consulting the whole counsel of God, we live in error, deceit, and fear. But when we study and learn the whole counsel of God, we live in power, anointing, and calling. And that's where God wants us to be. That's what God wants us to do. Tom, I'm going to release you guys. We're going to go a different direction. We'll come back at the end. When I read our text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 is amazing to me. Because it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Listen to the phrase. "The word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no widespread revelation. Let me ask you a question. Does that describe our times as well? Does that describe the 21st century? The word of God is rare and there's no widespread revelation. Culture has rejected God and the plan of God. Politicians have rejected God and the plan of God. And too often, even churches have rejected God and the plan of God. They have bought into a lie of Satan, and they're willing to embrace that and carry it on down the road. May I tell you, the deeper you get in darkness, the deeper the darkness becomes. The deeper the deceit, the more deceit overcomes your life. So that you think right is wrong and wrong is right. Black is white, white is black. Everything is turned upside down because of deception and darkness. And the only cure for darkness is light. And we are called to be light. Jesus said nobody lights a candle and then covers it up with a bushel basket. But they release that candle to shine. He said, "I am the light of the world." Do we understand today we have a calling, we have a mandate, we have a mission, we have an anointing to move into the world and expand the kingdom of God? We are not to be paralyzed in fear. The word of God was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. Would you right now just, however you want to do it, but submit your heart to God. And say, "God, let your revelation fill my life today. Let your word penetrate my life today. God, I don't want to live in a place where it said the word of God is rare and there was no revelation. I want to live in a place where the revelation of God is real, accurate, mighty, on time, and powerful in my life and the lives of others. Don't let it be said of us the word of God was rare and there was no widespread revelation. Don't let it be said of us. Oh God, change our hearts. Change our hearts." Folks, it's not enough just to come to church on Sunday morning. And by most standards, once a month is all folks come to church on Sunday morning. It's not sufficient. It won't get you there. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus only. There was no widespread revelation. Why do you think we're seeing the things in our culture that we see? Where men think they can be women, women think they can be men. Because there's no widespread revelation. There is no unveiling of the truth of God in our culture and in our society. We have bought the lies that have been in the working. Listen, we're not here in a moment. This has been in the working for decades to turn the world away from God. And it's time that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, rose up and declared there will be a revelation. The Word of God will be known. I will carry it to the nations. I will not be silenced. I will not be stopped. I will not be intimidated. At every opportunity, I'm going to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Come on, folks. It's time to move out of that place of complacency into a position of battle. Into a position of battle. We talked last week about Ephesians 6 and putting on the armor of God. Listen, if you're going to armor up, go get in the fight. Go get in the fight. Let God use you in a mighty way to change hearts and to change lives. Don't let the events happening today scare you, make you fearful, afraid, and paralyzed. But rather use them as fuel to feed your passion for reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 24, this gospel shall be preached to all the nations, then shall the end come. Folks, there's a lot of people, billions, who've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit's moving in these nations. He's bringing light into darkness. Revelations and dreams and visions are bringing change into people's hearts and lives. We have someone right here in our own church who, by revelation of God, received Christ as her Lord and Savior. It's an amazing thing. Brought out of a Muslim background and household into the body of Christ because God, through visions and revelations, appeared to her and showed her what Jesus is and what He does. It's happening around the world. God is also looking for you and I to stop relying on TV preachers, large crusades, evangelists, to expand the kingdom. He's looking for you and I to step into those offices and expand the kingdom ourselves. See, I'm absolutely convinced God called every one of us to be evangelists. Every one of us. None of us exempt. Regardless of your age, your race, your ethnicity, your education, if you're a born-again believer, if you've been grafted into the vine, then you're called to be an evangelist. Tell somebody what God has done for you. You say, I'm too shy. Well, we're going to pray for you at the end of this service and break that off of you. Because that is not of God. If God fills your heart and fills your life and the power of the Holy Ghost resides in you, then that shyness needs to be gone and be filled with the Holy Ghost power that will enable you to speak words of life. Love the way you're shouting now. The Word of God was rare. There was no revelation. The Scripture tells us where there is no revelation, people perish. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It's time for you and I to recognize the day and the hour in which we live and do something about it. Tallahassee is going to hell in a handbasket. 64% of our city doesn't attend any church, has zero relationship with the living God. 64%. That means 2 out of every 3 people that you meet don't know Jesus. Wow. That's staggering, isn't it? Think about your neighbors. Think about your coworkers. Think about your friends and family. Families are shattered and divided today because there is no revelation. God, reveal to us again the power of your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take us from being satisfied and complacent to being warriors on the battlefield. Samuel didn't know the voice of God. Why? Because it was unfamiliar to him. He had never heard the voice of God. Why? Because the word of the Lord was rare and there was no widespread revelation. He had no context to measure what he was hearing by and to discern who it was coming from. None whatsoever. Because he had never heard the voice of God, nor had his mother, nor had his father. Never heard the voice of God. never heard the word of the Lord, and the revelation was rare. He had nothing by which to judge what God was saying to him. So I want to ask you, what are things that keep us from hearing the voice of God? Because I'm convinced there's a large part of the church world that doesn't hear the voice of God. A large part. One thing that keeps us from us is love for this world. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. May I tell you, I'm convinced there are tons of Demases sitting in our churches today. They have one foot attached somewhat loosely to the kingdom and the other planted firmly in the world. They love this present world. Their mind, their affections, their ambitions, their goals, their priorities are not set on the things of God, but they're set on what pleases me right now. They love this present world. Think about people loving this present world. We get caught up in all kinds of things that take our attention away from the eternal promises of God's Word. We spend time, effort, money, energy doing things that only satisfy for a moment and then it's gone. We spend time, money, effort, energy promoting this or promoting that, and for a second it feels really good and then we're on to the next new. You know, have you ever noticed when you buy a new car? Or a new used car. Every time you drive down the street, you see 27 others just like it when you thought you had the only one. It kind of steals that purchase, doesn't it? Like, well, I'm not special anymore. So then what you have to do, you got to go get another new one and another new one and another new one. It never satisfies when we pursue the pleasures of this world. Fear of pain and pressure, persecution, is also something that distracts our attention and keeps us from hearing the voice of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, you must endure hardship as a good soldier. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Soldiers endure hard times. Paul said to Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier. What does that mean? You don't complain, you don't gripe, you don't murmur, you don't walk away. May I tell you that every single one of us have been assigned to a post in the kingdom of God, and we don't have the option of quitting, of turning back, of turning away, because it's hard. Endure hardship as a good soldier. There will be people that don't like you, that persecute you, that hate you, that speak ill of you. It's going to happen. Jesus said, don't worry about it. It happened to me too, but I've overcome the world. Stop bailing when times get tough. Grow a backbone. Take your stand. Refuse to be intimidated by the enemy and the lies of Satan. Refuse to be intimidated by the media nowadays and everything they're spewing. Stand your ground. You can't stand your ground until you hear the word of the Lord and have an open revelation. False teaching. Jesus talked about it three times in Matthew chapter 24. Paul enumerated on it in 2 Timothy 3:4-4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Wow. Paul said the time is coming when this is going to happen. Can you say we're there? Did you hear that scripture? Let me read it one more time. Time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves. In other words, they find somebody who's talking and teaching what they already want to hear. That's what it's saying. They've got to find somebody that they can say, yeah, I believe that. I'm going to gravitate to that. I'm going to embrace it and hang on to that, even though it's false. Accumulate teachers for themselves to suit their own passions and turn away from listening truth and wandering off in myths. Paul said there will come a time when people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. What does that mean? It means we're all trapped in religion. We love the religious tapestry and celebrations. We love all the things that are called Christianity, but we don't want the power that changes lives, because we want to be just the way we are, and we also want to go to heaven. Do you know that's an oxymoron? You can't live in sin and go to heaven. You cannot entertain both the world and eternity, the promises of God. It's a choice. And it's a choice you have to make. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, chastised them because of the way they were taking communion. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? He said, "Let no man eat or drink unworthily." Because if you eat or drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation unto yourself. What does that mean? It means that when you hold the cup and the wafer, your heart better be right with God. You better be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins had better be forgiven. See, communion is not a ritual or a sacrament of the church. It's actually remembering what Jesus did for you and I. I think about that scripture and I think, you know, I've been to a lot of memorial services, celebrations of life, funerals, whatever you want to call them. And I'm pretty certain that in every one of those, the deceased was remembered for the things they did. Seldom do we talk about how bad they were, how evil they were, how crooked they were. We talk about how wonderful they are. I told you a few years ago, I got going to my oldest sister's funeral service. I think it was in 2020, if I remember right. She's 8 years older than I am. And I've known Sherry my whole life. She had a wicked temper. She had a mean streak a mile wide. She had a tongue that would cut and slice and dice. And I'm sitting there in that church listening to her family tell me what a saint she was, how she never lost her temper, how she was so beautiful, so wonderful, so perfect. I'm thinking, I need to look in the casket to make sure that's her, because that's not the woman I know. See, Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me. We remember what he did. And what he did, no other man has ever done. He took the sins of the world upon himself, your sins, my sins. He was nailed to the cross. His blood flowed from him freely. He died for your sins and mine. See, sin demands a price be paid. There is always a payday. Paul wrote to the Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. The debt has to be paid. Either you pay it or someone else pays it. Jesus chose to pay it for you and me. That's why we can sing the song of the redeemed. Redeemed means we're bought out of, we are purchased, we are brought back. We have been bought out of sin, bought out of slavery, bought out of darkness, brought out of deceit, and born into the wonderful kingdom of God. Don't take communion lightly. Make sure that your heart is right, that your sins are under the blood, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Because if you don't, you're drinking damnation unto yourself, Paul said. That doesn't need any explanation, does it? Pretty clear. We have to learn to recognize the voice of God in this day and this age. Samuel had no idea, no reference, nothing to measure it by. He had a lack of familiarity with the voice of God. Don't let that be said of you and me. We want to be familiar with the voice of God. We want to hear what Holy Spirit has to say to us. How does he speak to us? He speaks through his word. That's why we need the revelation of God's word, so we understand what he's saying. He opens it for us. Have you ever read a scripture 1,000 times, but 1,001 times it seemed to jump off the page to you? Am I the only one? Come on, help me out. If you've done that, raise your hand. If you experienced that, raise your hand. Look around you. It's amazing. You know what that is? That's the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God's word in and over your life. We should seek that. We should pray for that. We should ask him to reveal God's word to us. We hear God's voice through his word. The Holy Spirit makes revelation clear to us. We hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit Himself as He operates in those nine gifts of the Spirit. We hear God's voice as someone is used of the Holy Spirit to bring a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Someone is used in the gifts of power, healings, miracles. We see God do those things and we hear His voice. We need to pray, God, let me hear Your voice again. What keeps us from hearing His voice? Very quickly, busyness of life. Goes right back to loving this present world. We get so caught up and so busy with life that we don't have time to hear God's voice. Our lives are much too cluttered. We don't have time for prayer and reflection. Let me tell you something. In this day and this time, we have to intentionally carve out moments to hear from God. Because if we don't do it intentionally, it will never happen unintentionally. Never occur. Because we're too busy. I think about parents today and raising kids, and I'm thinking, my goodness, how do you do it? There's so many demands, so many pressures placed upon you. Involved in this activity and the other activity and another activity. How do you do that? You can only do it when you hear the voice of God. When you as a parent can separate the important from the unimportant. I've talked about this several times. Too many times we spend way too much money, time, effort, trying to make our kid the star, this, that, or something else. Read the statistics. Very few make that level. What else keeps us from hearing the voice of God? Sin. Sin creates a barrier, a wall between us and God. Frequent sins, familiar sins, follow and attach themselves to believers who are not full of the Holy Ghost and pursuing Jesus Christ. It's time to break those off. It's crucial that we regularly examine our hearts and our lives and confess and repent of any sin we may be harboring that's hindering us from hearing the voice of God. Well, I just don't like the way he's preaching this morning. I didn't come for your popular opinion. I've heard the voice of God. And if you don't like it, you know what it tells you? You need to repent. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm saying God is right. And when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit falls upon us, we are forced or drawn to repent. And if we fail to do so, we build another wall between us and God. Another barrier that stands in the way of hearing His voice. God, help us. Open our ears, open our eyes, so we can hear and see Your plan for us. What else? Spiritual immaturity keeps us from hearing the voice of God. You see, Paul said, when you were babes, you got the milk of the Word, but there come a time when you're no longer babes, but you're adults, and you no longer need the milk, you need meat. Listen, I'm going to step on toes, I know that. Somebody's not going to like it, I know that. I'm going to get emails, I know that. But if you've been in church for 5 years, and you haven't matured, you haven't grown in Christ, you don't have a daily devotional life, you don't pray regularly, you're not a part of a fellowship, a church, you're a baby still drinking milk. And these things ought not to be. We need to grow in God. We need to become men and women of God who devour the meat of the Word, and the meat of the Word brings strength. You know, the meat brings protein to our bodies, right? And when protein comes into our bodies, we have energy, we have life, we have strength. Without it, we are weak, we are immobile, we are unequipped. We need the meat of the Word. Why do you think we do classes on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock? Why do you think we do small groups on Wednesday night? It's so you can move from the milk to the meat. It's to develop you and disciple you in the things of God so God can use you in the place He's put you in the kingdom. That's His desire. The last thing, the enemy's tactics. The enemy is constantly at work to sow seeds of doubt, fear, confusion, making it difficult for people to discern the voice of God. That's why we must guard our hearts. You know one of the greatest lies in this century? Oh, just follow your heart. Why would you follow your heart? The heart is deceitfully wicked. Why would you follow your heart? No, follow Holy Spirit. Follow God. Follow God's Word. Don't you walk up to me and say that, or I'll probably rebuke you in Jesus' name. Especially if you're in this service this morning. We don't follow our heart. We follow God. We follow the Holy Spirit. And then we can see the schemes of the enemy, the devices of the devil, and overcome them. Tom, would you come back? Again and again and again over this year, we've heard Holy Spirit say it's time to repent. It's time to humble yourselves before the Lord. It's time to repent. I'm going to read a passage to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. After I read this and we talk about it, then we'll distribute the elements of communion. But do not receive them if your heart isn't right with God. I can't be plain enough about this. Communion doesn't get you into heaven. Communion causes you to remember who gets you into heaven. Communion doesn't become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we take that and receive it in faith, remembering what Jesus Christ has done, we're making another opportunity for Holy Spirit to come mightily and powerfully into our lives. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this,'" ready? "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. What does that broken body cause us to remember? We remember the 39 stripes. Remember that his beard was pulled from his face. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was beaten beyond recognition. That's what we remember. And we remember, in the words of Peter, by his stripes we are healed. So if we stand in need of a physical touch in our lives, how about we remember? How about we allow that remembrance to build our faith and raise us to a level where we can say, "God, if you did it for one, you'll do it for another." We remember. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I got to say one more thing. So many people remember things that are destructive to them. They remember their sins. They remember their failures. They remember past relationships. They remember hurt that's been occurred. They remember loss. When you come to the table of the Lord and you remember what Christ has done for you, he will break all those things off of you. He will deliver you and set you free. You don't need to continue grappling with that stuff that has held you back and kept you down and caused you to be worried and afraid and no peace in your life. Rather, come to the table and remember what Jesus did for you. Remember what he's promised. Remember. The same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Prior to his sacrifice, the blood of bulls and goats had to be shed for the old covenant to be satisfied. But with the new covenant, once and for all, Christ died for the ungodly. That God commends his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Jesus died for you and me. The new covenant says there's a whole new way of living, a marvelous way of walking with Jesus. The new covenant is based on grace and mercy. The old covenant was based on blood and sacrifice. I'm so thankful for the new covenant. "This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Did you hear what he's saying? As often as you take these elements, you are declaring Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, and he's coming again. It's powerful. In verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Wow, that's powerful. Sobering. Holy Spirit, now let your conviction settle over each and every one of us. Search our hearts right now. Examine us, O Father. And if there be anything in us that is unworthy, sin-tainted, anything in us that's not approved by God, Holy Spirit, reveal it and help us to confess it and repent of it right now. Because we do not want to come to the Lord's table unworthily. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Wow, verse 30. For this reason, I'm not making this up, Paul wrote it. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, in other words, have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Powerful, powerful statement. Ushers, come, please. Holy Spirit, examine the heart of every person in this room, every person joining us online. If there be anything in me, make it your prayer. If there be anything in me that displeases you, remove it from me, Father. Cleanse me of it. Let the blood of Christ cover it as I confess it and as I repent. If and when you've made that confession to God, we invite you to take communion with us. This is not a closed communion. It's open to anybody who's a member of the body of Christ via the sacrifice of Jesus. So if you're a born-again believer, we invite you to participate with us in receiving communion. Go ahead and distribute those elements, please. Search us and know us, Father. Cleanse our hearts, Lord. Make us men and women who hear from you, who hear your voice, who have revelation from Holy Spirit alive in our hearts. Oh God, make us more like you. Search us, Father. Convict us, Holy Spirit. Convict us. Submit to your authority. We submit to your correction. Change us, Lord. Change us, Lord. Change us, Lord. Let a man examine himself. Just let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Examine us, Lord. Cleanse us, Father. Has everyone been served? Do we miss anyone? Stand your feet with me, please. Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you're in the room today and you have a need that is of physical nature, it may be a sickness, a disease, it may be a financial pressure, maybe a relationship issue, something that deals with this realm in which we live. If you have a need that's in this realm, by this realm I mean this life, this earth, I want you to take that wafer and I want you to lift it high and I want you to say, Lord, I'm taking this remembering what you have done. Remembering you already paid the price. Remembering by your blood I'm made whole. Remembering every promise you have made to me, I receive it today. Father, now you see every hand that is upraised. And I pray now for the power of Jesus Christ through your Holy Spirit to flood hearts and to flood lives, to break attachments and entanglements off of your people. I pray that you break sickness and disease off of your people. I pray that you break deceit and blindness off of your people. That the power of the living God would once again flow into our lives, because right now you're tearing down walls, you're destroying barriers, and you're bringing revelation. Let it flow in our lives right now. And it's in faith, believing that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Believing what he said is going to happen. That we take this wafer this morning in faith. Receive it with me. Then he went on to say, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's a new way to live. It's a new way of life, a new covenant, a new promise between God and us when we receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, when we recognize it's by his blood our sins are covered and forgiven. It's through his blood that we are redeemed out of darkness and bondage. It's by his blood. The gospel is a bloody gospel. Jesus bled severely, but his blood washes our sins away. He washes our sins away. Father, right now I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, the power and the priority of the shed blood of Christ would fill their minds and fill their hearts. Illumination would occur. We would be changed. Take that cup with me. John the Revelator said, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, when we hear the voice of God, when we have a clear revelation from him, then we come to the point that we understand I have an assignment. That assignment is fulfilled under his call and by his anointing. My assignment is to reach those who don't know Jesus Christ. Remember, 2 out of every 3 people living in this city don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Send forth is the Greek word ekbalo, and it literally means like you throw a baseball. Imagine yourself in center field and throwing it to home plate, the force, the power. That's what he's saying. With that force and with that power, send people into the harvest field. Cast us out, throw us out into the harvest field. The day for coming to church, worshiping for an hour and a half, and then going back to our normal life is over. It's done. History behind you. Doesn't work anymore. Right now, if you want to be cast in the harvest, just say, Lord, here am I. Samuel said, speak, my Lord, your servant listens. Speak, my Lord, your servant listens. What's he saying to you? Because right now he's talking to you. Cast your people into the harvest field, I pray. And follow us into the harvest field. That we will never again be content with religion or church or ritual. We will no longer be satisfied or accepting of anything short of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We will pray. We will study the Word. We will devour it. We will hear the revelation from God. And we will go in the power of the Holy Ghost to bring life-changing good news to those that are perishing. Father, I pray now for family members that are separated from you. Family members who were raised in church, but they got turned off by the trappings of church, by the noise of religion, by the nonsense that determines so many religious rituals. And they walked away because they never experienced the power of God. Lord, I pray now for people in this room who have family members in that situation, that suddenly there's a renewed vigor, there's a renewed anointing, there's a renewed confidence, there's a new word in their mouth, a word in their heart, a word in their spirit, and they will speak it directly to that family member. And you, God, by your Holy Spirit, convict them and bring them back to you. Bring them back to you. Bring them back to you. After Nehemiah built the walls around Jerusalem, he then prayed that God would repopulate the city. My prayer today is that God will repopulate you and me with family members who turned away from Him and bring us into the fold. He'll repopulate people in Tallahassee back into the kingdom of God. Those who've walked away, those who've turned away, those who've given up on religion, bring them back, Holy Spirit. Bring them back. I don't care if they land in this church. Just let them land in a church where the Word is preached and Holy Spirit is free to have His way. Bring them back. Repopulate your house. Repopulate your house. And now go in the power of the Spirit of God. Go, knowing you are called, you are positioned, you are appointed, and you are anointed for this day and this hour. Go in the power of the Spirit of God. Go rejoicing in what He has done. Go rejoicing that He set you free. Go rejoicing in His mighty presence and power flowing through your life right now. Go in the Spirit of God. Ekbala into the harvest field. Go in the Spirit of God. Be here Wednesday night. Get discipled. Grow in the Lord. Stop being a baby and grow up in God. Time to stop drinking milk and start eating meat. Come on, it's time to start eating meat. That happens Wednesday night right here. Be back, every one of you.
You made it to the end of the message, and now what? Is God leading you to make a change? Are you needing a good church home where you can grow and help others grow as you fulfill your part in the body of Christ? Then we invite you to join us at All Nations Church on Scherer Road in Tallahassee, a multicultural church founded on the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Sunday morning service is at 10:30 and Wednesday night service at 7, plus youth group and kid power and small groups and more. For more information, visit our website, allnationstallahassee.com.